There was a happy birthday note up here on the podium that I just saw with a very generous gift. If it wasn't you, you can bring something soon, okay? We'll take care of that. I'm going to read some verses out of Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, Jesus came and talked to them. He said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go and make disciples in all countries. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do all things I have told you to do. I am now with you always, even to the end of time. You know, God tells us that we should do these things. We should try and win people to Christ. We should baptize them. We should teach them. And I wonder, because God could do all of these things by himself. He doesn't need us to do it. But he calls us to do it. He wants us to be involved in the things he's involved in. And that is not only a challenge, it is a blessing to us as we try to do that. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you that while you could do everything that you've asked us to do, I want to thank you that you've asked us to do it. It is a privilege and an honor to help lead people to Christ, to be a part of equipping them and discipling them, to feed them when they are hungry, to clothe them when they are naked. It is a privilege and an honor, God, for us to do that. May you encourage us and teach us today more of what that means. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give you some names of songs sung by the same singer. Some of you may have heard some of these. For instance, Crocodile Rock. Do I need to go any further? Crocodile Rock, Tiny Dancer, Daniel, Candle in the Wind, and Rocket Man reflect just a smattering of Elton John's hits. But did you realize Elton John did not write one of his songs? Not one of them. His longtime friend, Bernie Taupin, was the lyricist for Elton's records. Bernie penned the words, sent the words to Elton, who then composed the music for those songs. What neither of these two could do individually, together, they accomplished much by sharing in the work. Today I want to talk to you about our needs and God's mercy. This is the fourth message in this series, God's Needs and Our Mercy. And I want to talk to you this morning about being an agent of mercy in the world. Now, if you haven't already, please take your outlines out from your bulletin. Follow along as we go through this. Being an agent of mercy in the world. Now, God has chosen you to be a significant agent in this world. And God wants you to be an agent of mercy in this world. Matter of fact, look what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus was talking, and he said, You will be my witnesses. Now, what is a witness? If you go into a courtroom, a witness is somebody who tells you what they saw. It's not the job of the witness to convince the jury. It's not the job of the witness to be the prosecution. It's not the job of the witness to be the defense. The witness simply says, This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. You are the only one who can be a witness for yourself and life, because no one else knows how God has worked in your life. You are the authority on that. No one else can be your witness. Only you can tell somebody else what happened from your perspective. A lot of the people think, well, okay, I have a testimony. I have one testimony. That's not true at all. You probably have 10, 12, maybe even 20 different testimonies. Anytime God has done something in your life, you've got a story about it. You become a witness. And that story is called your testimony. If God has helped you overcome worry or fear, that's a testimony. If God has helped you manage your anger better, that's a testimony. You can give an account about that. You may have a testimony about your health, how God helped you through difficult health crises. You may have a testimony or a story about how God helped you when you were in a financial crisis, or how God saved your relationships, maybe your marriage, or maybe how God got you through a very difficult divorce, or maybe how God put back a relationship that you thought was over a long time ago. You have dozens and dozens of testimonies. And the testimony, the story that you share, is the one which relates best to the person you're talking to. To be a witness simply means I share what God has done in my life. And you don't have to know a lot of scripture. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be somebody who quotes all the verses of the Bible. You simply share what God has done or is doing in your life. That's it. Jesus did not say, you will be his defense attorney. It's not your job to defend God. Jesus didn't say, you will be my prosecutor. It's not your job to convince people. That's God's job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Your job is simple, to be a what? A witness to what God has done or is doing in your life. Our greatest witness, write this in, our greatest witness is showing mercy. Our greatest witness is showing mercy. Our greatest testimony is showing mercy to other people. Showing mercy means thinking about the other person instead of thinking about yourself. It's doing what's best for them rather than what's best for me. And every time you show mercy to someone, that is your greatest Christian witness. Because we live in a world that is unmerciful and unforgiving. In Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it says, show mercy to others, just as your Father has shown mercy to you. Folks, God shows us mercy each and every day. Every day of our lives, we experience God's mercy. So what I want to do as we wrap up this series on mercy is to talk about how and where you can be an agent of God's mercy in the world and to other people. How do you show mercy to other people? How can you do that? What's the basis of that? Number one, because you are an agent of God's mercy, you need to look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Folks, people in a crisis need to be listened to. They don't need to be lectured. They just need to be listened to by someone who genuinely cares. You can help people heal simply by listening to them. That's why people pay big money to have counselors listen to them.
There's healing in listening. Look for people in a crisis and listen to them. Well, if someone begins to tell me something, I wouldn't know what to say. Good. You don't have to say anything. Just listen. And I know with all of us, we have this urge. All right, I got to say something. I got to fix this. I got to make sure I understand. Just listen. Just listen. That's how you show. That's one way how you show God's mercy to them. Look at Galatians 6:2. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, a burden could be a lot of things. It could be a physical burden. You might have a financial burden. It could be a relational burden. But many times, burdens are emotional stress. And when people are under emotional stress, they're burdened down. They're going through a crisis, and it dampens their emotions. He says, carry each other's burdens. How do you do that? One way you carry somebody else's burdens is by, help me here, listening. By listening. When you listen to somebody going through a crisis, you are helping carry their burden. So when you're listening, don't interrupt. Don't ask for the details. Don't be thinking of ways this person could fix this. Don't take over the conversation with your thoughts about the problem. Don't be preoccupied. Just listen. Face them, look at them, make and maintain eye contact with them. Let them know you are there to what? Listen, listen. Teenage prostitutes during interviews in a San Francisco study were asked, is there anything you need most and couldn't get? Their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was unanimous. What they said was, what I needed most was someone to listen to me. They didn't ask for a way out. They didn't ask for money. Prostitute said, I just need someone to listen. You want to show mercy. And if you really want to do it, listen. Really listen. I found this little saying decades ago. And it said this: his thoughts were slow, his words were few, and never formed to glisten. But he was a joy to all his friends. You should have heard him listen. There's a second way to be an agent of mercy. You listen first. Number two, look for people with unmet needs and help them. Look for people with unmet needs and find a way to help them. In Romans chapter 15, verses 2 and 3, it says, each one of us needs to look after the good of people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and he helped out. Practical needs. You need me to drive you somewhere? You need someone to do an errand for you? Can I help you paint your house? Whatever it is, look for people with unmet needs and meet them. That is being an agent of mercy. And if you don't know how to help someone, just tell them, "I'm not sure how I can help you. Please let me know." There's a story of a man who was next door to a not-so-friendly neighbor. Ever had that? Now here's the real question. Has anyone thought you were that unfriendly neighbor? There's a story of a man who had an unfriendly neighbor. And the Christian lived next door, and he was a Christian, and he tried to be friendly to this person. He attempted to have conversations, nothing doing. On one occasion, the neighbor was hospitalized for some time. And during this time, the yard became a mess, and there were leaves and the downspouts. And the Christian neighbor, he decided he was going to help. He was going to help. Because he knew if he asked the neighbor would say no. So he cleaned up his gutters. He cleaned up his yard. He saw an unmet need, and he took action. And the neighbor came home from the hospital about a week later, and he ran into his neighbor, and he walked up to him, and the neighbor said to him, "Listen, I just want to thank you. You must be serious about God for the way I treated you. I had no reason to think you would be kind to me, but you did this, and I'm grateful." The gentleman decided to start going to church with him. About 3 months later, this cranky neighbor was saved and baptized. All because of the way this individual handled it. There's a third way God wants you to be a part, be an agent of mercy. Number three. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. Look for people who are grieving and comfort them. People are grieving all around you. You probably bumped into a few this past week, had no idea, but they are grieving. They're struggling. Every day of your life, somebody has a loss, someone that you know, someone that you work with, someone that you go to the ball field with. Maybe they lost a loved one, maybe they lost a job, maybe they lost their finances, maybe they lost the dream for their life. Folks, loss is a universal problem. You're going to have many losses in your life, and people around you are going to have many losses in their lives. Now, folks, there is no loss without grief. There is no grief without pain. And when that happens, God wants you to become an agent of mercy to the person who is grieving. Sometimes we simply get too busy to notice people who are grieving. Maybe where you work, maybe where you go to school. Maybe in different clubs you're a part of. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, "God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others who are in trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves received from God." One of the best ways to comfort is simply to be there. People ask me all the time, "What do I say to my friend, to my cousin, to my niece, to my brother who lost a loved one? Or who lost their job after 15 years? My response is initially, "You don't have to say anything. Just go there. Just be with them. Just sit down." Now what happens is when that's that happens and we're in maybe their living room or we're somewhere else, closer quarters, and they're not talking, and we don't know what to say, and it's not long into that process, we get a little uncomfortable, right? And we're like, man, I don't know what to say. I'm not sure what to do. If you don't know what to say, the best thing to do is say nothing. If you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is do nothing. Just be with them. Now, when you do talk, let me suggest you avoid some things. When you do talk, avoid things like it's part of God's plan. It may or may not be. Everything that happens in the world isn't God's fault. You realize that, right? There's this person out there named Satan. Why would we tell somebody this is God's plan when Satan had his hand in it all along? Don't just sit back and say, well, it was just God's plan. Please don't say, well, look at what you have to be thankful for. You have a ton to be thankful for. But they're not in a mood to hear that. They're struggling. Don't say this. He or she is in a better place now. There's a time for that. When the person starts grieving over their loss, is not the time for that. Please don't say, this is behind you now. It's time to get on with your life. Don't say that. If you're tempted, slap yourself. Don't say that. Things you might say. I'm sorry. Things you might say. How did that make you feel? Say something like, I'm guessing you're hurting beyond words. You may be feeling like you're in shock. It's okay to feel that way. Number four. The fourth way God wants you to be an agent of mercy in the lives of others is to look for people needing friends and show hospitality. I'm talking about people who are shy, people who are reticent, people who are retiring, people who aren't the life of the party. They may be socially awkward. They might feel uncomfortable in social settings. They might be unpopular. Everybody needs a friend in their life. And one of the ways you can be an agent of mercy is to look for people who are lonely and show them hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says this. Look for opportunities to be hospitable. Hospitality, folks, hospitality is a lost art. First, because we're too busy, and second, sometimes the fact is we're just too self-centered. We don't know how to slow down and have hospitality with people, inviting people into our home for a meal. Do you realize how radical that is today? Let's just go ask so-and-so in. Our neighbors around the corner, they're struggling. They went through this. We know them, but let's just have them over for supper. So invite people, whether they're close friends or not. But over and over again, the Bible emphasizes hospitality. People are hungry for hospitality. The Bible says in Matthew 25 that one thing we'll be judged for at the judgment time is how we treated other people. And in that passage in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus said, I was alone and you welcomed me and you showed me hospitality. You brought me in. You welcomed me. When was the last time you showed hospitality to anybody? Anyone? A friend, a relative, a stranger? Number five, the fifth way God wants you to be a part of being an agent in this world, an agent of mercy. Number five says, look for people needing a second chance and give it to them. Look for somebody who needs a second chance and give it to them. Those somebodies are all over. Everybody's had failures. Everybody's stumbled. Everybody has sinned. Everyone has flaws. Every one of us make mistakes. And you see those folks. Maybe they've had a failed business. Maybe they've had a failed marriage. Maybe they've had a failure in some relationship. You need to look for people who need a second chance and show them God's mercy. Now, I'm sure if I did a quick survey and a raising of hands, and we're not going to do that. You can raise your hands when you worship, but I'm not going to raise your hands now. But all of us would say, we've had some failures in life that were our fault, or at least part of it. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:7. It says, when people sin, you should forgive and comfort them so they won't give up in despair. When people sin, you should forgive them, comfort them, so they don't just say, I'm done, I'm walking away. And number six, one more way to show mercy to people. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. Anybody here going to have a difficult time finding somebody rude? Maybe in the same pew you're sitting in. Or you thought I meant out there. Look for people who are rude and be kind to them. Folks, I guarantee you, if you find somebody and they're rude to you and you're kind to them, it's going to blow their minds. It's going to just, they won't even know what to do. Somebody who's rude, you give them a second chance. They're down or depressed, you give them a second chance. They may be thinking, how can I recover from this? They think, I'm too far gone. They feel guilty. They're hard on themselves. Look at the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:7. When people sin, you should forgive them and comfort them so they won't give up in despair. I just read that, didn't I? I did. Well, forgive me. Yeah. I always need lots of mercy. No telling whatever's going to happen up here. Look at 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Never retaliate when people insult you or say unkind things about you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God wants you to do. And he will bless you for it. If you want God's blessing on your life, you need to learn how to be nice and kind to rude people and not be rude back to them. You can do this. You can do it by being an agent of mercy in this world. You can do these six things. It will cost you. It's going to cost you. Maybe you need to change your lifestyle. Maybe you just need to relate with people that you've not had a good relationship with. You've got to be willing. You've got to take the time. The pastor shared this email, and it said this: "Pastor, for the first time I met my neighbor, he told me that he would never go to church with you. And for the next 5 years, I looked for ways to witness to my neighbor, but he was definitely not interested. Then one morning, recently, I was late to work, and I'm rushing around trying to get out the door when my neighbor yells, 'Have you got a minute?' Everything in me wanted to say, 'No, I don't have a minute.' But I could see he was in a bad place. He was in a time of crisis. And in that split second, I decided to show mercy and even be late to work. So we both headed off to Starbucks. I listened to him for quite a while. While I was in that Starbucks, my neighbor, who had insisted that he would never go to church, during that time with him, my neighbor gave his life to Christ. For 5 years, I tried to make a difference in his life, but it was an act of mercy that opened the door." Look at Hebrews 6:10. "God will not forget the work that you've done and the love you've shared him, the love you've shown him by caring for and helping other people." Showing mercy to others means you're going to listen to them. It means you're going to help them. It means you're going to comfort them. It means you're going to show them hospitality. It means you're going to give them a second chance by being kind to them and by doing one more of 100 other things you can do to show mercy in somebody's life. Mercy that God could use to change their life forever. This is so important that Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 25. The Bible says in Matthew 25, "Then Jesus will say to those on his right, 'Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was homeless, you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped over to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And then the king will say, "I'm telling the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone that others overlooked, you were doing them to me." Did you hear that? Did you get that? Showing mercy to others is like doing it for Jesus himself. It may not be easy, but it's like doing it to our Savior. Folks, to show mercy in a world, the ways that God calls us to, it's not always easy. It's not always clean. Matter of fact, sometimes it's kind of messy. You got to take a chance of trying to help and bless somebody, and they may reject you. You may try to help someone, and they may, no, it's not going to work. It's just going to be a failure. Folks, who needs your time? Who needs your ear? Who needs your helping hand? Who needs your word of encouragement, your invitation to church, your help in cleaning their house, fixing their car, mowing their yard, while their spouse is in the hospital? Who needs that? Are you ready? Are you willing to be an agent of mercy in the world, more specifically in your world? Folks, if Grace Point is ever going to grow, it's not going to be by fancy programs. It's not going to be by having the latest technology. If Grace Point is ever going to grow, it's because we will show mercy to others, regardless of their status. And you know what motivates us to show mercy to others? It's because we've experienced the mercy of God in our own lives. Are you willing to be an agent of mercy? Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you that you are our agent of mercy. That you have not only allowed us to experience your mercy, but that you call us to share that same mercy with others. And Lord, not just to do it passively, but to do it proactively. To go out of our way to find someone to whom we can show mercy. Knowing, God, that our motivation is that you showed your mercy to all of us. So God, it's been a good time of worship, like it always is. Good music, good fellowship, decent message. God, may you help us in the midst of all of that to share your mercy with others. Bless our time now of response and the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Kevin, before he goes too far off, he's getting hugs already. I felt so bad when I looked down there and saw his face a while ago. Kevin, an agent of mercy would not do what happened up here a while ago. So there you go. That one's real.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, Libby will be spinning this one. Kevin will get the other one. You see it?
Yeah, but they make them like
that. It says, for toys, play only. All right. I will be looking for a new job tomorrow, if anybody has an opening. Probably this afternoon. But anyway, that's kind of fun. This was my 27th, that's like yesterday, I think was my 27th anniversary of being here in Charleston. And it was a matter of God calling me, of course, but Kevin Bennett was another great reason for getting me down here to Charleston. I appreciate that. And shrimp, too. I forgot shrimp. Shrimp was a big part of that as well. So, and speaking of that, oyster roast coming up November 11th. Bunch up here. Man, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, folks, have a great week. Be an agent of mercy as you go out to wherever you might be. And let's have a word of prayer as we go. Lord, thank you for this challenge. And we know that there's nothing can separate us from your love, neither height nor depth, angels, principalities, power, either life nor even death can separate us from your love through Christ. We thank you for that promise. We love you. We praise you now. We pray it in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen.